You're listening to a special Easter edition of the Sunday, Sunday, Sunday podcast, a reflection of the upcoming Sunday Catholic Mass readings. And now your host, the Bible geek, Mark Hart.
Well, happy Easter once again, my family. This week, we're taking a look at the third Sunday of Easter as this resurrection season keeps rolling on. Our first reading comes from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5. And this is important. Listen to the verses. Verses 27 to 32 and the second half of verse 40 and verse 41. Our psalm response from Psalm 30, verses 2 through 6 and 11 through 13. Our second reading, St. John's book of Revelation, the letter of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. And our gospel from St. John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. You know, it was during the Triduum, my daughters and I were discussing the crucifixion and the resurrection. And it's great when you're dealing with pure hearts and with young minds, because there's a sense of joy, there's a sense of sorrow, true sorrow, obviously, for the crucifixion, joy about the resurrection, but a confusion. And the confusion for my middle daughter really stemmed from the more she learns about the crucifixion and about the cross, there's a confusion as to why we celebrate it. I mean, is that the old thing? Why, you know, what's so good about Good Friday? But why would you celebrate the cross? I mean, when you really stop and think about it, here we are celebrating this tool of torture, this symbol of capital punishment. Here we are celebrating the victory, even though it didn't appear as a victory. We know now, we're always looking in retrospect. And it's a great reminder to us again during the Easter season. Most of you in your parishes have a crucifix, a cross, and probably has that white linen draped over it, and it will remain there for the entire Easter season. What a great reminder again that as Catholics, instead of going up and taking the corpus off of the cross, we still have the crucifix. We drape it in white. And it reminds us again, things aren't always what they seem. Sometimes you have to look at things differently. Sometimes you have to look a little bit deeper. And in the eyes of the world, Christianity, the Christian message, is not going to make sense according to human logic. And thank God it doesn't. Thank God that He doesn't do things our way. Thank God that He does things His way. Because if He did things our way, we wouldn't be here. This first reading from Acts of the Apostles, it's a great reading because you have this moment of boldness. You have Peter and the apostles, and here they are in front of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin saying, look, we strictly ordered you, did we not, to stop teaching in that name. They wouldn't even say Jesus' name. They just say that name. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and want to bring this man's blood on us. And Peter and the apostles say, we must obey God rather than man. You, the God of our ancestors, raised Jesus. You killed him on a tree. I mean, basically, they're just saying the facts of the case. They're just sharing the truth of the case. They're not saying anything new. They're not making anything up. They're just saying what they themselves have witnessed. In fact, the last line is, we are witnesses, and the word in the Acts of the Apostles for witness is martyrs in Greek. We are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit, that God has given those to those who obey him. Now, this is what's interesting about this reading. If you don't know what happens immediately preceding this moment, a little something's lost. Just a few verses before this, Peter is actually released from prison. Like, God goes and rescues him. Peter's in prison. He's in chains. God rescues him. He escapes prison. And now this episode is after they've been reapprehended and brought in front of the Sanhedrin again. Okay, so imagine this. Imagine the boldness. Peter's already been arrested. God sets him free. The Sanhedrin's going, this is unbelievable. You're making us look terrible. So they go and get him again and bring him forward again. And you'd think, after being in prison, if Peter was not testifying to something really amazing and something that he actually saw and experienced, you have to think at this point, Peter might go, you know what? I'm just going to go back to being a fisherman. But instead, he's even more bold. So here the people are that imprisoned him last time. And here he is after the famous jailbreak. And he's just saying, hey, look. I'm going to say it even more boldly. You killed Jesus on a tree, and God raised him, and you're just going to have to deal with that. But there's something very interesting when it says the witnesses, because, again, they're going to be martyred. Peter's going to be martyred. Most of the apostles are. And the truth is that, my brothers and my sisters, that you and I, if you proclaim the truth of Jesus, what you've seen about Jesus, the encounters you've had, what he's done in your life, if you proclaim that with your life, with boldness, you are going to be martyred, maybe socially, maybe, you know, by other people in their conversation, their remarks about you. But you're going to be martyred. I'm going to be martyred. That's what happens. And that's why it's important in the second reading, when John is looking and all the angels are surrounding the throne and all the living creatures and all the elders, countless in number, all those who celebrated God's life, who lived for God, and they're around the throne of the Lamb. The Lamb is slain. Now, again, the same way we look at a crucifix and we say, look, this symbol of victory, they don't see Jesus, you know, just enraptured on this throne in white and all the glory. They see the lamb, the slain lamb on the throne. And it's reminding us again, the one that you slayed, the one that you killed has been glorified. He's the one in heaven, and he is victorious, and he is reigning supreme. And all those who suffered in the name of the Lord are also going to be glorified. And it's a great reminder, again, things aren't always what they seem. So we have to be able to look through our moments of suffering, those situations, those hardships that you go through, and know that there's going to be glory. And that, again, is why we put that white over the cross, the glory of the cross, the glory, the victory of the resurrection. Now, in this gospel reading, you're going to notice, and you probably heard it before, this is where Peter and the apostles are out fishing again, and Jesus shows up, it says, on the Sea of Tiberias. That's the exact same body of water as the Sea of Galilee. And this is the same body of water where Peter, when he first met Jesus, and Jesus told him where to fish, and they caught all the fish, and Peter falls on his knees and says, "Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinner." The same body of water that Jesus was asleep in the boat, and they woke him up. The same body of water where he wasn't in the boat, and he walked on water, and Peter walked on water. We return to the same location again for this miraculous story. But this time, the storm that's on the sea is not in the sky. The storm that's going on is inside of Peter's heart, because Jesus has died and been resurrected, and here they are. They don't know what to do or where to go next. Pentecost hasn't happened yet. And Jesus himself makes breakfast, stands on the shore, and calls them in. And it's so interesting that the last time you see Jesus and Peter beside a fire was in that courtyard when Peter denied him three times. And here they are beside a fire again, only this time Christ himself made the fire. And this is almost foreshadowing that fire of Pentecost that's going to fall in a few weeks. And as Jesus looks Peter in the eyes again, he asks Peter the three questions. And yes, this is supposed to mirror the three betrayals, you know, the three times that Peter said he didn't know Jesus. But it's so much more than that. In fact, St. Thomas Aquinas even said that in this episode, the church is the boat. One of the original, before the cross even, one of the original symbols of the church was the ship, the boat. He says the church is the boat, and the net not breaking with all the fish, that's a sign of our unity. And Peter jumping out of the boat, running to Jesus, filled with faith and with love, that is the sign of Peter's authority, when Jesus gives him the authority as the good shepherd, as the chief shepherd, as the pope. And that all the huge number of fish they got was all the elect, all those that are gathered in by the church. My brothers and my sisters, there's so much in this episode. But again, things aren't always what they seem. This moment had to happen after the crucifixion. And this moment happened even before Pentecost. So here you have this new beginning, Jesus looking at Peter and believing in him more than Peter probably even believed in himself. And my brothers and my sisters, this week, once again, Jesus looks you in the eyes, and he believes in you more than you probably believe in yourself. So in those moments when the world surrounds you, in those moments when your heart is under siege or under a storm, in those moments when people don't understand you, and they might even want to mock you or persecute you, and you might feel like the lamb that's slain, you might feel like you are imprisoned. Remember, this is not the end of the story. This is just the middle of it. If you serve the Lord, you will reign with him. If you serve the Lord, you will be glorified with him. And not only will his body be resurrected, yours will as well. Happy Easter.
This podcast is brought to you by your friends at lifeteam.com.